Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on Facebook Live as we are streaming our worship service live to you from Faith Point Church in Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. My name is George Wasson, and I'm the pastor here at Faith Point, and we're so glad that you could either join us live, or if you're watching this a little bit later, welcome. We are glad that you are with us. While the coronavirus crisis has prevented us from gathering together in person, we are able to do so through this technology. So we're grateful for that, and we're glad that you can join us. So again, welcome. On March 1st, I began a message series on prayer called Dangerous Prayers. The catalyst for this series actually came about from a book that I read by Greg Crochelle, an author and pastor, with that title, Dangerous Prayers. Now, the subtitle to this book is pretty incredible also. The subtitle is, Because Following Jesus Was Never Meant to Be Safe. Following Jesus was never meant to be safe. So each week, I have been challenging you to step out of what I might call maybe your usual prayer life in a very intentional way to develop and to deepen your relationship with God through what I think are some pretty challenging prayers. Now, again, I said I've used Greg Rochelle's title for this series, Dangerous, because I believe that it is the kind of prayers that we have been talking about in this series are not for the faint at heart. They haven't been what I might call sideline prayers or prayers just for comfort or for peace or for healing or even provision. Instead, they have been what I would call get in the game, give it all you've got kind of prayers. I've encouraged you to pray things like, speak to me, like a young boy in the Old Testament named Samuel, whose name actually means heard of God. Samuel grew up to be one of the greatest religious leaders of the 11th century before Christ. We learned from Samuel that we too can ask God to speak to us in a way that we can hear him through his word, the Bible, through his Holy Spirit, through the church, through his people and the like, however, whenever, and wherever he wants. We want to position ourselves so that we can hear from God, who longs to be in a relationship with us. I've encouraged you to pray prayers like, search me, like the one King David did in the Old Testament. In the 139th Psalm, David prayed these words. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. Now, David teaches us to seek, to surrender, and to submit to God's full and complete rule in our lives by revealing anything that might get in the way of us ultimately being able to follow him completely. On March 29th, I encouraged and challenged you to pray the dangerous prayer, Break Me, O God, where we ask God to do a three-phase work of demolition, eradication, and reconstruction. A process of tearing down and taking away and rebuilding our lives, we discovered that what breaks us actually makes us. That when we allow God to break us, we create the conditions for recreation and position ourselves to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. The Sunday before Easter, I challenged you with the prayer, Make me bold. Oh God. We learned about the boldness of Jesus' earliest disciples who faced intense opposition and persecution. We discovered that spiritual boldness, or sharing our faith in word and witness, releases God's miraculous works and actually unleashes great joy in the life of a believer. Last week, I challenged you with this prayer, Send me, O God. Send me. We discovered that when God calls us to serve him, we have a choice to make. We can be like Jonah, who said, "Here I am, I'm not going." Or we could be like Moses, who said, "Here I am, but send somebody else." Or we could be like the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Here I am, send me." We learned that availability is the outflow of a life surrendered to God. That our availability is an outflow of our surrendered life to God. That when we say to God, "Here I am, send me, I'm available, speak to me, prompt me, move me, lead me wherever, whenever, however," that we discover being used by God is where we discover the abundant life that God has for us. Now, I admit, these have been challenging prayers, provocative prayers, testing prayers. They've been prayers intentionally chosen to inspire, to ignite, and to increase our faith. They've been prayers of courage, not comfort. They've been prayers I've specifically chosen to push us to new levels of passion, new levels of fire, new levels of power and fulfillment and even possibility. And in this coronavirus crisis season, I don't know about you, but I have found myself praying way more than I've ever prayed before, with much more intensity than I've ever prayed before. I've often found myself waking up in the middle of the night, 2:30, 3 o'clock seems to be the magical time for me, where I've just started praying. Often, it's been prayers that have lasted until the morning. I found myself prompted to pray at some of the most spur-of-the-moment, impromptu times throughout my day. I felt God laying people's names on my heart, and just, I've been praying for them. So I have found myself in this season praying more and more. Well, throughout this whole series, the underlying theme, the overarching idea, you might say, that I have been working from is this, and it's the title of today's message: prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Author and pastor Melvin Tinker wrote this. He said, "One of the most wonderful mysteries in the universe is that prayer changes things." He goes on to write that God has devised prayer as a means of enlisting us as participants in the work he has ordained, as part of the outworking of his sovereign rulership over all. The relationship between divine sovereignty and petitionary prayer can be stated by this one word: participation. Participation. Look at how we get to participate with God in changing things. The Bible instructs us in Philippians 4:6 to pray about everything, to tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. We do this. We pray about everything because prayer changes things. As James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So you see, as followers of Jesus, we believe that prayer changes things. Over and over and over, we see this from Genesis to Revelation, through personal experience as well as the testimony of history. We see and we know that prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes situations. Prayer changes outcomes. Prayer changes today's, and prayer changes our tomorrows. And so what I want to do with our time this morning is to wrap up this series and throw out just a few more thoughts about prayer in general, thoughts that I hope will maybe radically affect our prayer life, both mine and yours, affect who we pray for, what we pray for, when we pray, and most importantly, why do we pray? So thought number one, I believe that the focus of our prayer is important. The focus, or what we pray about, is important. So let me ask you a question. What do you pray for? In the same way, what do you not pray for? And then, of course, why? What affects what you pray for and what you don't pray for? If you kept a prayer journal, writing down everything that you pray about for the next week, what would it reveal about your prayer life? Would it reveal that your prayer life was safe? Maybe you would describe it as pretty much like everyone else, to say, I've got a normal prayer life, not too bad, not too good, normal. Maybe you pray a lot. Maybe you pray a little, or maybe you pray somewhere in between. Maybe you would even say, I don't really pray much at all. In fact, I don't know how to pray, let alone what to pray for. In one of his teaching moments, Jesus, with his disciples, instructs his disciples to pray like this. He said, pray, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, we could spend weeks breaking this prayer down as a model for prayer. But suffice it to say, what I think this prayer and so many others throughout the Bible teaches us is that God instructs us to pray because prayer changes things. Look what he told us to pray for, that we are to pray for provision, right? For the food that we need. We are to pray for the ability to forgive one another. We are to pray to resist the temptation that comes before us. We are to pray that we might be rescued. And then when we look at other scripture verses, to pray for so many things. And so what it seems to me is that what we discover here and throughout scripture is that what we pray for and what we pray about reflects what we believe about God. What we pray for and what we pray about reflects what we believe about God. So I go back to that question and ask you, what do you pray for, or what don't you pray for, and why? I love this question that Greg Rochelle asks in his book, Dangerous Prayers. He says this, if God said yes to every prayer that you prayed, how would the world be different? Boy, that kind of ramps it up, doesn't it? About what we pray for or what we don't pray for. If God said yes to every prayer that you prayed, how would the world, in fact, be different? Now check this out. When we pray, we have access to the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the all-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing, sovereign God, who can send fire from heaven, who can shut the mouths of the hungry, who can heal the sick, cure the lame, silence the demons, or calm the raging storm. That's what we have access to. So with this in mind, I want to ask you, if you kept a record about everything that you prayed for, what would it reveal about your prayer life? What would it believe about what you believe about God, about your understanding of who God is, about how we get to participate with God? Greg Rochelle writes, he says, and all you may have asked him to do was to keep you safe and help you have a good day. Now, so that tells us that the focus of our prayer is important. And so maybe it's time to ramp it up, to get in the game, to raise the stakes, however you might understand it. The focus of our prayer, what we pray for, is really important. So what do you pray for? What do you not pray for? And why? See, I believe that we can bring all of our prayer requests before God, because God longs to be in this relationship with us. And so we can come as we are, and we can pray about anything and everything. So number one, the focus of our prayer is important. Number two, the frequency of our prayer is important. What we pray for and the frequency of our prayer is important. Again, how often do we actually pray? With what kind of intensity do we actually pray? So check this out. Jesus teaches us about the frequency of our prayer life with a parable that has often been termed the parable of the persistent widow. We find it in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and it goes like this. It's going to be on the screen. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story, now get this, to show that they should always pray and never give up. So Jesus is setting us up right there, telling us exactly what this parable is about, that we are supposed to pray always and to never give up. He says that there was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her consistent prayer." Then the Lord said, and this is really important, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely get justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day or night?" Now, don't get caught in the weeds here. The big idea, again, that started this is that we pray and never give up. And the Lord says that he hears and he answers his people who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. In other words, he's going to answer their prayer. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Now, clearly the frequency and the intensity of the widow's prayer made a difference with the judge. And Jesus, in essence, says in this, you do the same. You keep praying. Always pray and never give up. The writer of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just sums it up this way: never stop praying. Now, we talked about that in the first message in this series, and you might remember that I shared with you the acronym that's a good word for understanding this, and it's the acronym, it's the word PUSH. So when we think about the frequency of our prayer, we should simply push, that we pray until something happens. We pray until something happens, whether that's personal or situational, whatever it might be, we pray until something happens. So let's review. When it comes to prayer, the focus of our prayer is important. So don't limit yourself. Don't limit God. You can pray about anything and everything. Number two, the frequency of our prayer is important. Don't just drop a prayer here and there, but be a person of prayer. Be praying without ceasing or always praying. You don't just have to go away and shut the world out and just be in prayer. You can pray anytime, anywhere. So pray with frequency and intensity. And number three, and I think this is really important, the faith of our prayer is important. The faith of our prayer is important. So let me ask you a question. Do you pray believing that God is going to do something because you pray? Really? Do you pray believing that God is going to do something because you pray? Do you believe that prayer changes people, situations, outcomes, today's and tomorrow's? Do you really believe that? Now, there are some people who would say that the only thing prayer changes is the person praying. Well, that, my friends, is simply not true. As a matter of fact, I will go so far to say that is not biblical. It is absolutely, completely wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. One of the great mysteries about prayer is that God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we wish that he would. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says not yet. And that's where faith actually comes in, right? What is faith? It's trust. It's belief. You see, we choose to pray because we choose to believe, we choose to trust that prayer changes things. Now, the Bible has countless examples of big, audacious, answered prayer. We can see over and over again that when the people of God prayed, God responded. That situations, people, outcomes, today's and tomorrow's, they changed. Take, for instance, Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet of God. He did many wondrous works for God, some of which made him really popular, and others, he was less than popular. But he knew that whether his deeds were popular or not, he had to obey God. And just as Elijah listened to God's voice, God himself listened to Elijah. That's the beautiful thing. Their relationship was one that in the Old Testament was reserved for priests and prophets. But today, we have availability to Jesus. We have availability to pray to Jesus directly. In 1 Kings, we read that Elijah had been praying for widows and her son, that he had been staying with them. He had already blessed the widow and proven himself to be a man of God by miraculously causing her food to not run out, so that the widow, her son, and Elijah could eat well during a time of famine and drought. But during his stay, the widow's son became ill and he died. Well, when Elijah prayed for the child's life to return, his God answered that prayer right away. Now, this is a dramatic, immediate instance of God answering prayer. Or take, for example, Hannah. You might not know much about Hannah. She was married to a guy named Elkanah. She was the unfortunate barren wife married to Elkanah, but was humiliated by one of Elkanah's other wives who easily bore children. One day, Hannah pleaded with God. She prayed to God for a son, promising to give him back to the Lord. And here's what her prayer said. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours and for his entire lifetime, and a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord. His hair will never be cut. Well, sure enough, her son Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history, who's mentioned direct communication with God throughout his life. In addition to Samuel, God gave Hannah three other sons and two daughters. Well, how's that for answered prayer? Here's what I believe. When we are willing to give our best to God, he blesses us with more. Well, here's another one, Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue ruler who we read about in Mark chapter 5. Jairus risked his position in his faith community by making a request of a new religious leader, Jesus, right in front of everyone. He says, "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Well, fast forward, Jesus entered Jairus' house and raised the girl back to life. Okay, I can't resist. There's another one I want to share with you. Again, we could look all throughout Scripture and see testimony after testimony after testimony of God answering prayer. But this last one, while Jesus suffered on the cross and provided salvation for our sin, the Bible tells us that two other thieves hung next to him. While one of them ridiculed Jesus for allowing himself to be crucified, the second asked for forgiveness. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus forgave the thief during his dying moments. Again, now I could go through example after example after example. From the prayers of Abraham to Moses, from Elijah or Elisha, from the prayers of Ruth or Daniel or Joshua or Samuel, from the prayers of David or Nehemiah or Esther or Isaiah, from Daniel or Peter or Paul or John, from Jesus himself, we discover that the faith by which and in which we pray has power. James 4:2 says, "You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." In other words, you don't have it because you don't pray about it. A few verses later, James writes this. He says, "Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven." Now, several years ago, I heard a talk by Christian author Anne Voskamp. Ladies, I would highly recommend you checking out her resources to help you grow in your faith. And I would commend her to you. But she writes this about prayer. She says that prayer is an act of faith that I will someday, somehow, be given a way to participate in the restoration of the good world God had made. Now, there's that word again, participation. When we pray, we participate with God. That when we pray, God changes things. When we pray, it makes a difference. Isn't that an astounding and yet beautiful thing? So let's review. As we just kind of close this series on prayer. Number one, the focus of our prayer is important. So I want to challenge you. Pray about anything. Pray about everything. Pray big, bold, passion-filled kinds of prayers. Pray the others too. But stretch yourself and find those things to pray about. Affect the focus of your prayer. Number two, the frequency of our prayer is important. Make sure that you are praying to the best of your ability without ceasing. That you are finding ways and occasions and times and moments to just be a person of prayer. That you're increasing, that you're ramping up how often and how intensely you're praying. And number three, the faith of our prayer is important. See, here's what I believe. Prayer makes our faith stronger. Prayer makes our lives richer. Prayer makes our hearts fuller. Maybe it's time for all of us to change how we pray. Maybe it's time for us to seek God more passionately than we've ever sought him before. I think this season in which we find ourselves is a season of opportunity, that we take the time that we seem to have an excess of in other areas of our lives and to pray with more passion, with more fire, with every fiber of our being to pray. Maybe it's time for us to pray with courage, to risk, to open ourselves up to a different path, to a better destination because we pray. Maybe it's time for us all to pray dangerous prayers like those that we've talked about in our series. Remember, God's word says that God tells us that if his people will humble themselves and pray, he will hear from heaven and he will restore their land. I believe that's a promise that we can hold true. So I want to challenge you. Speak to us, Lord. I want you to pray. Search us, Lord. I want us to pray. Break us, Lord. I want us to pray. Make us bold, oh God. Let us pray. Send us, Lord. I want us to pray. What if we all prayed like that? Bigger, bolder prayers. What if we relentlessly pursued Jesus with that kind of daring and self-abandoning faith? What would our lives look like? What would our world look like? So I think it's time. I think it's time for us to venture out, to trust, to dare, to believe, to pray, because prayer changes things. So I want to wind all the way back to where this series started at the beginning. I want us to just pray. Like, what would our lives, the question I've been asking throughout this series is, what would our lives look like if we just prayed? And as a reminder, what does that mean? Is that we just talk to God honestly, just like we would talk to anybody else. We just talk to God. That we talk about everything and anything. There's nothing taboo. We can talk to God about everything. What if we just began talking to God continuously? Again, been in that place where we are just praying without ceasing or never stop praying. And then what would happen if we would listen for God's response? That we'd position ourselves to hear what God wants to do. Well, I want to close this part of our time this morning with a prayer from our tradition that has been called Wesley's Covenant Prayer. So I want to invite you to do something right where you are. I want to invite you to just close your eyes. And I want to invite you to position yourself kind of as an outward and visible sign of opening yourself up to position yourself before God and maybe repeat after me the words of this covenant prayer where we invite God to have his way in us. So let's pray together. And as I pray, I'm going to pause to give you a moment to maybe echo that prayer back. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, let me be your servant. Let me follow your commands. I will no longer follow my own desires. I give myself completely to your will. I am not my own. I am yours alone. Make me into what you will. Rank me with those you will. Put me to use for you. Put me to suffering for you. Let me be employed for you. Let me be laid aside for you. Let me be lifted high for you. Let me be brought low for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. With a willing heart, freely give you everything to your pleasure and disposal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, prayer is something that we have that allows us to connect with God. And prayer is a powerful thing that we have. So just pray. Just pray and see what God might want to do. Well, just a couple of announcements I want to do before Isaiah and Emily lead us out with our last song. Number one, again, I want to encourage you, especially during this season where we're kind of stuck and socially, physically distanced from one another. You can find out more about our church from our website, faithpointchurch.org. You can find message notes, audio messages, other resources, so I would encourage you to check that out. Another thing is, we do pray here. We really do. We would love to pray with you and for you to come alongside you. So if you have any special prayer concerns, we'd love it if you would just send those to news@faithpointchurch.org. We'll send that out to our folks. And see, we do that because kind of at the heartbeat of who we are as a church is that we believe that prayer changes things, that when we pray, God does stuff. And so would love it if you need somebody to come alongside you to pray for you and with you, if you'd send us that, we'd appreciate it. And the next thing is, I really want to say thank you. This is a difficult season for churches. It is a difficult season for us financially as well as for churches all over the country when we can't gather together physically. We still, like everybody else, we continue to have financial needs. And so I want to thank those of you who have partnered with us and continue to support the ministries of our church with tithes and offerings. You can do that in so many different ways. You can mail it to us. You can do online giving at our website. Great, easy resource to set up recurring or one-time gifts. We got this new resource called Give Plus Text that you can text and give back to God through that as well. The number is there on your screen. So again, we want to thank you for those of you who have continued to support us. And if you'd like to begin supporting us, we would love that as well. And we, again, look forward to when we can get back together again and all worship physically in this space together, whatever that's going to look like. And then one last thing, I want to kind of do a little teaser about something that's coming up. We are going to start something new that we are terming digital discipleship.